Would you like me to do roll call?
Yes, please.
Dr. Sadek?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt? Looks like we're missing three people.
Yeah, so we'll hold off for now.
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt? We do have quorum.
So if everyone's in agreement, he can join us. But we got quite a bit of road ahead of us, so I'd like to begin.
Okay.
If that's okay with you, Gail.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right, let's move on to case number 20-176, and that would be Dr. Anna Norton. And this is initial review continued. Dr. Norton on the phone?
I am present. Dr. Norton is here.
Okay.
And also Steve Mahaffey representing Dr. Norton is present.
Okay. And Gail, can you give us a rundown?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, at the meeting of June 10th, 2021, the board reviewed case number 2176 regarding Dr. Anna Norton. At the meeting, the board voted to continue the case for 30 days for additional chart review. On June 18th, 2021, Dr. Norton provided the initials of 16 patients she had seen in the prior month. From those 16 patient initials, board staff requested the medical records for three of them, patient NR, patient CS, and patient GB. And you have been supplied with the information that Dr. Norton has given the board.
So we have some additional, I think one of the board members had asked Dr. Norton for additional charting, and she has provided us with additional chart notes that she's done. And have the physician members had the chance to review those? And do you find these records are adequate enough? So let me digress a little bit down to Dr. Popiel.
Dr. Norton, I appreciate you providing us with these chart notes. I guess I would say they're okay. We're still bumping our heads against the wall as to the lack of actual ingredients, the lack of additional information regarding the IV.
Ever since June 10th, I have been putting them in every single, the chart of every patient that I see.
So you're saying level 4 nutrient IV borax protocol? That's what you're
That was before the June 10th board meeting last month.
Okay, I must be looking at this wrong.
You had asked me to put the ingredients, and I complied. I have complied.
I must be looking at the wrong notes then. I apologize. I'll defer for a moment and keep looking here. I thought I reviewed everything related to this, so hold on for my comments, Dr. Sadler. Go ahead.
Okay.
If I might interject based on Dr. Popiel's comment, I think what happened is that the records that were requested were already made at the time of the June 10th meeting. So you'll see that the May 22nd chart notes that you're looking at that she supplied were already done, which was prior to when she understood she had to add the ingredients. So you don't have any notes that occurred after June 10 before you. So I don't think Dr. Popiel will find anything that you're looking for, if that helps.
Let me go down to Ms. Pivot. Do you have anything on her notes? These are back to May.
I don't have any comments or questions.
Okay. And then Ms. Gallen?
I don't either.
And Dr. Campbell, from your point of view?
Well, if Dr. Norden is indicated that she has addressed the concerns the board had related to her documentation as of the June 10th, and we don't have a review, there's really not much to comment on. She's saying that she has fixed all the board's concerns, but we don't have anything to review, then I guess nothing to comment on. Thanks.
Yes, I have complied to the very best of my ability and understanding of what you wanted. And yes, since June 10th, I have a number of different IVs that I use typed out and written. Just it was a little bit too time lengthy to write them, handwrite them every single time. So I attach a paper chart note in each file with the IV ingredients. Since June 10th, I've been doing that.
So Dr. Norden, then in any note past June 10th, what you're doing is, let's say, lactate bringers 500, X amount of C, X amount of magnesium, you just are putting that into the chart now?
Yes, I do. And then more than that, it's from an osmolarity chart. So it has the osmolarity and the ingredients, and the quantity of the ingredients. Yes, it does.
Okay.
And the amount of the base, whether 250 mLs or 500 mLs.
Okay, great. I don't know if Dr. Spatz is back with us. Dr. Spatz, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Dr. Spatz. I just called and just looked. I heard everything from the side of this case. The chart, the copy that we have, so that's the after June 10th, you said it's when you put all the detail in. So apparently we don't have anything colored before that, like June 8th and so forth. We don't have anything in detail.
Well, I think I submitted 12 or so initials of the patients I've seen. I submitted the initials of all the patients I've seen. Ms. Anthony took three of them. I sent those And these happen to be the dates of those, the very last visits of each of the three patients that I saw that were chosen for me to submit.
Okay. Okay. So let's see. So let me ask you on June 8th, on so the plan you put L4 finalist meal nutrient IV Rochelle protocol. So I assume you have a protocol somewhere.
Yes, I had one for her, but I've changed that now to the exact ingredient.
Okay. So let me understand this. So this charting was requested by Gail, and apparently it's only this particular chart before June 12th. Is that what it is? I'm a little confused watching that the chart that's incomplete.
Oh, it's not all the chart notes. It was just the notes that I saw the patient prior to June 10th. And this particular patient, NR, that you're referring to, has been coming for us to us for 3 months. The initial formula is what is in one of the earlier records, and then it's not repeated each visit. So it's been in the chart at some point. And then if I put, I'll refer back to date, this is June, May, April, I'll say ratio protocol, and then it might be in a note of April, of what that actual protocol is. And then if I alter it, which I often do, I'll put one ml additional B12, I'll put the milligram amount as well. So I also modified that not only in Rayfield protocol from that was written up 3 months previously, but I would also put the what was changed that particular visit.
Okay. But okay. Let's just say I just have a few questions on, let's say, charting on May 22nd. Okay, May 22nd. So what I'm looking at is the plan. Under the plan, you put, GB, yes. Patient 3, yes. Okay. So let's see. So the plan you put down level 4, right? Is that nutrient,
well,
IV?
Well, are we three levels of IVs, 1, 2, 3, 4, yes.
I'm sorry, one more time. I couldn't hear you. What?
Oh, yes, we have three levels of IVs, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they're all determined by the milligram amount of vitamin C in them. So level 4 has the maximum amount, if you were wondering what the level 4 meant.
So let's say with a level 4 nutrient IV, and you put BORC protocol, is that what BORCK, is that what it is?
GB, yeah. And I guess I was supposed to retract out the names, but I didn't catch that. That's all right. Protocol.
So you have the cell protocol at one of the patients, and then you have both protocols. So is each of the patients receive different protocol depend on your assessment when the patient comes in?
Exactly. So.
Okay.
If they've had high blood pressure, many different factors go into how we change the IVs each time, which is 3 times a week. They come in.
Is this possible if you can, because I'm surprised, is this possible if we could see those, Rochelle or BORC protocol in the chart? The reason why I asked you this is because, let's say this patient comes to me, and then I request for consent for medical record, and if you send this to me, I don't know what Rochelle protocol is or BORC protocol is.
I understand, and we'd have to send you all the records, and we'd have to look through them previously, months previously, to see what this protocol was. So if you now requested GB's records, in the very most recent ones, the times that I saw him, there will be a chart on a piece of paper listing all the ingredients and the amount. So that has that's changed since I was last in front of the board.
Oh, I see.
It's less confusing, less easier for you, less confusing.
Okay, all right. Thank you. That's all I have at the moment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, and that's the way I used to chart before I went in front of you, and I've changed that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Nguyen. Yeah, and that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Dr. Papil, let me go back up to you.
No, I understand what Dr. Norton's saying. I guess my confusion lies in, you know, I guess maybe we requested chart notes wrong. I thought the whole goal of what we were going to get today was going to show documentation that the concerns we had were being addressed in more current chart notes. So I must be confused, I believe, I guess, as to what we were expected to see today based on Dr. Norton's submission. So I don't want to belabor this longer. This is an okay chart note. You know, obviously she's expanded on that now. I guess we could request to see what a current chart note is. You know, I understand it takes her time and effort to be in front of the board. So I just was confused, I guess, as to what the expectation was for the chart note being provided today.
Please trust me. I am putting the ingredients in every single chart note that are, I've made up, I went through the trouble of making up a lot of different possible combinations and permutations of IVs. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do this one today. And then I put it in, it's already typed up. I have a stack of them in my office. And then I just put it in the chart that day. And I see the IV number, you know, level 4-4 or something. And then if that, the ingredients of that IV are in the chart. Does that make sense?
It does. Yep. I don't have any further questions today, Dr. Sadler.
Dr. Norton, this is an improvement, and if it's here for you to write it, I can read it, so I don't have a problem with it. My only request for you is just so we can wrap this up, and I'd like to wrap it up in the next few moments, is would you be able to send the board and you can white out the patient's name, just basically what your IV infusion sheet looks like, and I'll take your word to do that.
Yeah, sure. I could, if I don't know if I've seen CD since June 10th, but you want three IV infusion charts I believe I have one in NR's chart, and I have one in GB's chart. Would that be satisfactory? Or would you like me to pick another random one and send it?
No, that would be great. I just need to wrap up a loose end, and that wraps it up for me.
Oh, I understand. That's fine. I could probably send those off to Gail within a week.
Sure. That sounds good.
Okay.
So in that case, I'll make a motion that she's given us Girl Scouts honor. She'll send us the sheet. Yeah, I'll make a motion that we dismiss the case.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little intimidated by you guys, so believe me, I'll be sending them.
Just Dr. Popiel, I'll second that motion.
Gail, can you put a roll call, please?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Dr. Norton.
Well, thank you very much, doctors and Ms. Tibbetts and Ms. Spatt and Dr. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
And may we be excused?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're out of five. That was a little bit long, but we're out. So let's go ahead and see how we're doing with number six. Has everyone had the chance to review that? I'll just give us a quick rundown.
Dr. Salek, members of the board, at the meeting of June 10th, 2021, the board took Mr. Frere's application for clinical training under review. After consideration, the board voted to offer the applicant a consent agreement for certificate with probation. The consent agreement draft has been supplied to the board. At this juncture, the board may accept the consent agreement as written, modify the consent agreement, or reject the consent agreement.
Mr. Frere, are you here today? Doesn't sound like he's there. I thought it was well worded, Gail, so I don't have any comment.
Okay.
And go board staff, I'm going to say my opinion, but we need to open it up and get some other feedback, is the consent agreement for certification with probation for Anthony Furr. I think it's well stated, so I agree with it. But I'm
going to
need some feedback.
This is Dr. Popiola in support of this consent agreement as well.
Okay. Discussion, how does everyone feel about it?
You say we accept it. Do we need a motion?
Yes, please. You want me to make the motion, or do you want me to make it?
Oh. I can make a motion that we accept the consent agreement.
Okay.
As written.
I will second. And at this point, we need roll call.
Okay. And Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Move on to number seven. Review consideration and possible action regarding application for licensure by endorsement. And I will have Ms. Anthony go through this for us.
Okay. Dr. Salek, members of the board, this is an application for license by endorsement with limited scope. It would not include acupuncture or minor surgery. Dr. Klossmeyer holds or has held ND licensure for the following. Washington is active. California is active. Kansas is expired due to non-renewal. Applicant has held licensure in other states since 2011 with no disciplinary actions. Source documents indicate an incident in November of 2014. Applicant failed to disclose this incident on his application. According to the applicant, he was instructed by legal counsel that because there was no charge filed, he did not need to disclose the incident on the application. Source documents indicate there were no charges filed relating to this 2014 incident.
Is Kelsey on the phone?
Hi there, yes, I am on the line.
Can you give us you told by legal counsel that you didn't have to check that box?
Yeah, I was told that. So this was my personal lawyer. And first of all, I just want to apologize to the board for taking up your very important time for this matter. My lawyer, in a conversation with him, I ran it past him, and he said, well, you were never charged with anything. It's not a big deal. It likely won't even show up on the on a background check at this point. That was incorrect. After I received the communication with Executive Director Gail Anthony, I reviewed it with him, and we actually looked at the application, and he said, oh, yes, it's a clear question. It's just asking if you ever were arrested. That did happen in 2014. I did answer no on the application, which was, yeah, which was incorrect, and I'm happy to provide any other information that would be helpful.
And you still don't hold active licenses in the other state?
I do, yeah, in Washington State. I reside in Washington State, hold a license also in California. The reason I'm seeking licensure in Arizona is because as my practice has grown, I see a good number of patients who spend, you know, part of the year they snowbird down in Arizona. And then since the COVID pandemic, I've had a number of patients relocate to Arizona and are wanting to continue care. And I'm just not comfortable doing that in a state that I'm not licensed in.
Well, let me quickly go through my list here and see, get some other points, quick opinions. Dr. Campbell.
Thank you. This is Dr. Campbell. can you hear me okay, Mr. Fossmeyer or Dr. Fossmeyer?
I can. You are coming through clear.
Very good. Okay. So are you pretty much clear now on where you went wrong with the application in not you know, affirming that you had been, I guess, charged but not convicted of a crime?
I was never charged. I was arrested but never officially charged with anything.
Okay.
And
well,
No,
I get it. Essentially, you know, when the officer puts you in handcuffs and drops an arrest report, he's charging you with an offense, and then the district attorney will decide whether or not, you know, if they're going to move forward with the charges, and then if they end up being convicted or not, you know, is a court matter. You know, but the purpose of a background investigation, you know, is not for the applicant to try to figure out, you know, in what manner they could possibly get around questions and conceal information, is to see how upfront and diligent and forthright you're going to be with answering those questions. And usually those types of questions are asked in direct reflection of the position that will be held, because they understand that within those positions that can be held, you will be asked other questions throughout, you know, your tenure in those positions that will require you being forthright and honest and have, you know, utmost integrity with it. And so we just need to make sure that this is never going to happen again, and that, you know, you're going to raise the question for what it is and be open and honest with whatever the particular question is, and that we're not going to be coming back before the board for other secondary associated issues that affirming something that was or was not correct. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes absolute sense, and absolutely lesson learned. And, you know, I've clarified with my lawyer, I think I understand that this will always be a question on an application. And I made the wrong decision on this one. I misunderstood how the system worked. I was under the impression that this was no longer going to show on background checks, but he clarified that in order for that to happen, that's a completely different legal process.
Right. And again, it's not engineered to see whether, you know, not necessarily for the applicant to try to analyze and determine whether or not it's going to be the likelihood that it's going to pop up on the screen, but more so whether or not you're going to raise your hand and say, you know, and answer the question, you know, if it needs to be answered in the affirmative, regardless of whether or not the charge was made or not, depending on how the question was asked that we're doing that. So, okay, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Dr. Spatz?
I don't have any questions at the moment.
Ms. Gellin?
No questions.
Ms. Tibbetts?
No questions.
And Dr. Popiel?
No additional questions at this time.
Okay. So, Dr. Klossmeyer, I think you pretty much got the point. If anything does transpire, please reflect it on your board app from now on. And then we need a motion. I'll make the motion that he is approved for limited licensure here in Arizona.
This is Dr. Popiel. I'll second that motion.
Gail, roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Dr. Klossmeyer.
Great. Thank you all so much.
Okay, we'll move on to number 8, review consideration of possible action regarding correspondence from Dr. Colleen Huber and her decision not to sign a consent agreement offered regarding case number 20-160. And I'll have whenever it's convenient, can you give us a review?
Did you want to say? Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, at the meeting of May 13th, 2021, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board approved a draft consent agreement regarding case number 2160. In addition, the board voted to move the matter to formal interview in the event Dr. Huber did not sign and return the agreement within 30 days of presentation. Agreement was sent to Dr. Huber for signature. However, she did not sign the agreement. The attached was received by Dr. Huber on June 25th, 2021. And I've placed this information on the July agenda for board consideration. After consideration of this new information, the board may consider including additional violations to the case number 2160, including, but not limited to, the following, or take other action the board deems appropriate. And I've listed ARS 3215-0131 B, P, T, and double J as potential appropriate violations should the board consider them. Or the board may choose to consider this information of no evidentiary value and move forward with the formal interview without including. Dr. Huber did respond to the notice of this meeting of this matter being placed on this agenda and has been received and was forwarded to the board. So you should have received her initial petition and memo, and then you should have received her notice that she would not be attending this meeting.
So Dr. Huber, are you on the line? Apparently not. Mr. McCaffrey, are you there?
I'm actually on the line, but I'm only listening. I'm not here in my official capacity representing her.
Okay. So Dr. Spade, you don't mind.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, sorry, this is Justin Larson at the Attorney General's Office. It came to my attention that Dr. Spatt earlier today, I think, sent a written communication to the rest of the board members regarding this agenda item. And just to make sure that we are in compliance with the open meeting law, I would just ask that that Dr. Spatt read that correspondence that he sent into the record during this public meeting, just so everything's known to the public.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Spatt, do you have that pulled up in front of you?
Yes. I did. I read the note on it, and I feel strongly that this is just a publicity stunt on Dr. Huber regarding this matter. And so that's my opinion on that.
And Dr. Spatt, just for the for purposes of the record and making sure we comply with the open meeting law, would you mind just reading that into the record, like word for word?
Yes, certainly. One,
Yeah, I say so. So I feel that this is a publicity stunt by Dr. Huber, especially with the petition signature asking to dismiss all of us on the Nash Party board. And I signed it.
Oh, and that Dr. said that was done today, then?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, was there anything else you wrote, or was that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. So, we need to kind of come up with closure for this. And Dr. Fett, since you just got done reading it, let me get your thoughts you stated in the email. But do you have any additional thoughts?
No, you know, we've been going with this case for quite a long time. And, you know, medical record, it's a naturopath, it doesn't matter if it's an MD or DO, medical record is standard. And I don't know what the hiccup is regarding to Dr. Hubert, because it's very simple. All we ask is for a little bit more detail of what she took to the patient, but she's been heckling with us, you know, throughout, I don't know how many, I stopped counting on. So this is uncalled for, because medical is a care that physician, didn't matter if allopathic or naturopathic, carry. And so for me, this is just ridiculous. And then that response that she had with the petition to dismiss off the naturopathic, off the member of the board is something that, like, an eye saw from. And I feel strongly that this is just something that Dr. Hubert probably do it, but publicity, so people that, hey, you know, she's something. No, what we're requesting, and what we're requesting is a standard of a physician. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Let me roll up my list. Dr. Campbell?
Thank you. This is Dr. Campbell. Can Mr. Chairman, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I got you.
Okay. I am in receipt of Dr. Huber's petition and memo, and I've read through it very carefully. I understand that she makes mention of issues that have come before the board for the last 3 years. I know that some of us have not been on the board for that long, and I think that it's easy to get sidetracked in a lot of detail here, but I think we need to kind of narrow down and ask ourselves what the most important questions are here, and we can go back and call it question zero. And it's so numbered as it's logically prior to all other questions that we have to ask ourselves. And essentially, what we're here for is an issue regarding the documentation of medical records that I believe came before the board in September. And according to statute, adequate records means legible medical records produced by hand or electronically containing at a minimum sufficient information to identify the patient, support the diagnosis, justify the treatment, accurately document the results, indicate advice and cautionary warnings provided to the patient, and to provide insufficient information for another practitioner to assume continuity of the patient's care at any point in the course of treatment. I think it's important to state that I believe that it's the board's primary and sole purpose, and it's my experience that we are acting on the public safety and the public interest, and that we need to focus specifically on this statute. And I believe that we've done that with regards to the feedback that's been provided. And so I'll leave to the physician members to address whether or not they feel that the most recent medical records provided meet the standard that I mentioned. And if the board feels comfortable, I would not be against talking about possibly having the board a party medical consultant who can review these records and offer their opinion as to whether or not if Dr. Huber's saying that her records do in fact meet the standard and that she's not willing to entertain the directions or the advice of the board, then maybe receiving some third-party advice will help make things more clear. And so that's all I have to say right now. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Gallen?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm taking it in right now, trying to think about it.
Okay. And then, gentlemen, up to you.
Ms. Beckelbeal, I agree with what Dr. Campbell just said. However, and the last point, I feel like Dr. Huber has been given the opportunity to make chart notes legible, professional, and up to speed. We didn't have to give her the opportunity to provide, 3 months worth of chart notes, but we did, and she clearly did not have any interest in abiding by any of the suggestions that we provided her. So the idea that this is somehow the board's interest in keeping this case going on and on and on is absolutely ludicrous. The board gave her the opportunity to provide some decent chart notes. She chose not to. Had she chosen to just produce some reasonable chart notes, we would have said, thank you for the chart notes. Have a great day. Case dismissed. However, now it's escalated into something that borders on me questioning, honestly, sanity and ability to make rational decisions on behalf of her patients. Her attacks on the board, the board members, the board's decision making are truly, incredible and just I can't even believe what I read. So as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't want the board to spend a dollar seeking another opinion on the chart notes. There's no time needing to be wasted by any other physician in another profession, et cetera, evaluating how incomplete and lacking the chart notes are. So as far as I'm concerned, I guess there's really no other direction other than continuing this on to formal and including the new violation based on her repeated attacks on the board and suggestions of unprofessional conduct, et cetera. There's only one person in this situation who's behaving unprofessionally. So that's all I have to say.
And I'm sorry, Ms. Tippett, I may have bypassed you.
No, that's okay. I agree with what Dr. Popio just stated. I don't think we need to have a third party. It's pretty clear that what's been asked falls under statute, and she's choosing not to do that. So I guess my question is to the other board members is, do you feel that there should be anything added to based on the memo or the memo or letter that was sent, anything additional that you would like to cite as part of the case?
I think that Anthony and arrest and all the other correspondence we received. You know, do you have that as reference?
I do. So, Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is the summary regarding Dr. Huber's memo and petition. And I do note that after consideration of this new information, the board may consider including additional violations to case number 2160, including but not limited to, and then I cite ARS 3215-0131-B, engaging in any dishonorable conduct reflecting unfavorably on the profession. P, engaging in immorality or misconduct that tends to discredit the naturopathic profession. T, violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly, or assisting in or abetting the violation of, or conspiring to violate this chapter or board rules. And JJ, knowingly making a false or misleading statement in oral testimony to the board on a form required by the board or in written correspondence to the board, including attachments to that correspondence.
And is there not a consent agreement, as we discussed at the very beginning of this, that is still out there? Meaning, we've already had a consent agreement that's not signed, still idling.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, the consent agreement was drafted and approved by the board and submitted to Dr. Huber for her signature, which she declined to do. During the motion phase, the board did say that in the event Dr. Huber did not sign the consent agreement within 30 days, the matter would be moved forward to formal interview.
Okay.
So we are at this point, I believe we are at the stage of moving it forward to formal interview. But the board can consider, the board does have other options.
So we, I mean, in terms of options, the board members can, you know, you can look at it from one of two ways. It's either, and since Mr. McCaffrey's listening, I know he's not representing her today, either we get it signed within a week, or it goes to formal interview, or we can move it to formal hearing and actually just give it directly to OA at this phase with the additional correspondence she's given us. So I'm going to let the board decide which way you want to go. If it's not signed in a week, you could just easily move it right to formal hearing and give it to OA. Or we can have her back here, which I don't know if we'll accomplish anything in formal interview as to why she didn't sign the consent agreement.
So I'm just Dr. Bofield, so we could just move this on to OA, and because clearly there's so much emotional approach to this. Like, I don't know whether it's us or Dr. Huber. I don't know if we're in a position to make great decisions based on, you know, I guess all the communication that's gone down. That would be a great option in my mind, is to move it on to OA for a third party to decide and come to a resolution potentially.
Mr. Larson, your point of view on that option?
Mr. Chair and members of the board, I don't want to comment as a matter of policy. It's obviously up to the board which direction it wants to go. But I would just, you know, reiterate that, you know, you're correct, Dr. Sadlick, that the board does have the option. I mean, it has already been voted to formal interview, given that she has said that she's not going to sign the consent agreement. But this correspondence, you know, if this correspondence that we've received does, you know, change the board's outlook and the board feels that it would be better off remanded to formal hearing, the board also has authority to do that.
Does the board want to give her 5 or 7 days to reconsider or does the board want to, at this point, since it's become tremendous issue, just basically remand it at this point to formal hearing with OWA? And that's
I don't think any more time would make a difference.
Okay. So do you want to give her 7 days, or do you just want to vote it to a formal hearing and directly to OWA?
I would tend towards that, unless there are other options that are better. I don't think that giving her more time is going to be helpful for serve any purpose.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would also add that, you know, you can remand this case to formal hearing while at the same time, you know, adding the caveat that, you know, she can still sign the consent agreement within, you know, 7 days, as Dr. Sadlick said, or any other number of days. That wouldn't really affect the timeline. We could start to move forward on preparing the formal hearing without, you know, regardless of whether the board, you know, offers that option for her to reconsider the consent agreement.
So let me go about my roll call. Dr. Speck, your feeling, either give her a week. The options are give her a week to sign. She does not sign. Then it goes straight to the formal hearing and then goes to Office of Administrative Hearing.
Yeah, I just want to just open the spot. I just want to make sure. So, formal hearing, where would that go? We go back to where we at?
I'm going to let Mr. Larson go through that.
Well, the board can, Mr. Chair, member of the board can choose whether it wants to hold the formal hearing before the board or before OWA. And OWA then would, you know, would conduct the hearing. The hearing would be conducted before the Office of Administrative Hearings, which is what we've been referring to as OWA, and that judge would then make a recommendation, and the board could choose whether or not to adopt that recommendation.
Thank you. Why don't you circle back with me later, Mr. Chairman?
Okay. Dr. Campbell, can I move up to you?
Thank you. I would also be in favor of remanding the issue over to OWA, and I completely understand where the other board members are coming from, and I don't think it would be worst decision if we still allowed, you know, we don't have to make any special arrangements, but we, you know, if for whatever reason within the first 7 or 10 chronological days of sending this off, if she wants to reflect upon the law as it relates to documentation and whether or not she wants to sign the consent agreement or move forward with OSHA and then or OWA, and if she doesn't sign, then it goes to OWA and then we can see what the recommendation is. I do think that that's the diligent decision when we reflect upon the totality of everything that we've heard today, and so that's where I'm at.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Gallen?
I don't know that in my opinion we really need to take more time. I would recommend just moving it.
So are you saying that your recommendation would be not to give her additional time, just to take a formal hearing with Office of Administrative Hearing?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one option. Ms. Tibbetts, I think you echo that sentiment somewhat too.
I'm okay as long as we, what Mr. Larson said, we go ahead and get the process started, and if if in the first week or whatever, 10 days or whatever, she decides to sign, then that, if it's possible then to stop the process, I'm okay with that. I do want to know if we do refer it to OWA, can these additional items that Ms. Anthony just read a few minutes ago, can they be added to what we refer, or are we only referring the previous?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Justin. The board can include that in its motion, whether it wants to, you know, add these additional violations to in referring the matter to formal hearing. But the board can do that all, you know, in the same motion. And again, I also want to reiterate that the board can still remand this to formal hearing at this meeting, and you know, with the caveat that she still has, you know, 10 days or whatever to sign the consent agreement to sort of stop the process, as I believe it was Ms. Tibbetts intimated.
Yes, it does. Thanks.
And Dr. Popiel, let me go back up to you.
My only concern with the idea of allowing her any more time to sign the consent agreement is that it would not contain these new, you know, violations, essentially BPT. I'm not sure about violation JJ. I guess I'm not sure exactly what we're referring to in that, but you know, items B, P, and T, absolutely. So to me, I've kind of changed my mind on this. I wouldn't give her any additional time to sign off because it would not include the additional violations based on the egregious nature of her communication with the board. So my recommendation, my thought would be just straight to formal hearing and OWA with the inclusion of items B, P, T, and if somebody wants JJ.
Okay.
I agree with Dr. Popiel. This is Karen Tibbetts. I forgot about that. I don't want the consent agreement to not include this. So, can I ask Ms. Anthony a question about what JJ might be referring to?
Could you help us, Gail?
Yes. So, Dr. Salik, members of the board, JJ, it just seemed to me that her allegations are false and misleading, and that's the reason I put that in there. Her statements regarding the board and you know, everything that she said in her memo, that's what that was referring to, but it doesn't necessarily have to stay.
The only other option, and I'll ask Ms. Anthony and Mr. Larson, obviously I'm trying to keep her somewhat out of OWA, although I really disagree with her unprofessional conduct and her correspondence that she sent. To redraft the consent agreement, and then we'd have to go back into all her unprofessional conduct, would be very difficult to do, because then we would have to go back into probably a formal interview, et cetera. So my thought process is, it's unfortunate she chose not to sign it, and it's unfortunate she sent us this additional correspondence. I'm flexible on either, you know, whichever way the board would like to go with this. So let me go ahead and, Dr. Spad, you pretty much have a good command of it. Let me go one more time for everyone's final opinion.
So this is Dr. Spad. Yeah, I concur with what Dr. Popiel concerned, and I agree with that. I would definitely concur with what he's saying, and I would definitely go with that.
Do you want to give her any additional time, or you just want to roll it right to OLA?
I say it's just rush to OLA, because I don't think she's going to change her mind.
Okay. Dr. Campbell?
I'll go with my colleagues on the board with referring it to OSHA, our OLA company, and if the general consensus is that we're not going to give her any additional time, I'd be willing to go along with that at this point.
Ms. Gallen?
About it, I'm listening right now.
Okay. Ms. Tibbetts?
This is Dr. Annan. It's very appropriate for me to intervene. May I speak?
I'm sorry, who is this?
Dr. Anna Norden, it's very inappropriate for me to speak at this point. May I at some point say make a comment?
Let me ask the board members if they want to hear a comment.
Okay.
Does anyone want to hear her comment? How long is your comment going to be?
Two sentences.
Then go ahead and say it.
I'm asking for understanding of Dr. Huber's position. She's had very almost verbally violent run-ins with certain competitors, and I would plead with you to give her the benefit of the doubt. She's been through a lot of trauma. You know, there's been a lot of bad blood between some of the competitors she's had. So I would ask you to please consider going easy on her. That's it.
Oh, okay. You have to say something.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sounds like we got a couple of thoughts out there, and we're going to need to wrap up eight. So what I'm hearing from the board members is, one, we move directly, unfortunately, it goes to formal, which is going to go to OLA, Office of Administrative Hearings, or you give her 5 days, 7 days, whatever, to sign it. In meantime, Mr. Larson gets things rolling to OLA in case she decides that she's not going to comply. The issue is, and I think Ms. Tibbetts and Dr. Beal brought it up, is the other issues that we receive in addition to the actual consent agreement, meaning the correspondence that she has sent the board.
Give her a different time, and she signs it, and we use this consent.
We are going to need a motion.
This is Dr. Popio. I make a motion that we refer this case for formal hearing to the Office of Administration, including ARS 32-1501 items B, P, and T as additional violations by Dr. Huber.
And that's Dr. Popiel. We'll need a second.
Yes.
Yeah. I have Ms. Anthony do roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
I will say I agree, and I'll make one caveat opinion. I really wish she would have gotten this done sooner. Unfortunately, at this point, you know, going to be headed to OLA. Okay. So to answer your question precisely, I'd say I agree with both Dr. Stat and Dr. Popiel.
Okay. Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin is absent. Motion carries.
All right. We need to move on to consideration of possible action regarding draft minutes. Everyone review them.
Were they in the board folder, Ms. Anthony? Or were they sent as an attachment?
The minutes? I believe they were in the board packet. We can table this matter if you don't have it, or if the full board doesn't have it. We can table the matter until next meeting.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't see it, and I have not reviewed them. I apologize. I don't see them in the July
meeting. This is Dr. Fulvio. I don't see them either, actually.
Okay. Okay. So probably table this to the next meeting.
Let's table number 9, guys. Then let me move on to number 10. Is there anything we want to do in the future that we need to have on the agenda for August? I know a couple of things we were wrestling with that we're trying to work out, scope of practice, et cetera. Is there anything else we need to put on for the August agenda? No?
That's what I'm aware of.
Okay. And I need to wrap with 11, and then we'll go to 12. Call to the public. Is there anyone out there that'd like to speak to the board? No? Okay, we'll move to number 11. We got that done. Number 12, any further questions that the board has that we need to address before I adjourn? Dr. Copio, anything?
I'm good to go for today.
Okay. Ms. Tibbet.
Good. Thank you.
Ms. Gallen.
I'm also good.
Good. Dr. Campbell.
I'm good. Thank you.
And Staff.
I'm good. But quick question. Are we going to start at 11 o'clock next time? Are we changing the hour?
I think it's going to be 11:30 or 12. Thank you.
Yeah, either one of those. Probably 11:30.
Great. Yeah, so I'll be 11. I couldn't make it. I still have patient that I try to finish. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Thank you, Ms. Anthony. And it's 4:27, and we are adjourned.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.